tonight. Turn, if you would, with me to Romans chapter number 3. Romans chapter number 3. We'll begin reading verse number 21. And then also we'll read a passage of Scripture in the book of Hebrews. We'll read, first of all, in Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 21. We're continuing our series. I think this is number 5, I guess it is, that we've had in the series of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not having any problem finding material. A lot of times when you get into a series, you wonder how much material there is and how much we're going to be able to find and how much we're going to be taken care of. I tell you what, there's an abundance of material. There's abundance of Word of God concerning this subject of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the different avenues you can take off of that. And tonight we'll be looking at the remission of our sins because of the blood. The remission of sin. And we'll be looking at that particular subject, and that's all because of the precious blood, the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood." Notice that. A propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth, or which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Wherefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. The Apostle Paul says we have a conclusion here. And that conclusion is that man is justified by faith without works. And thank God tonight that what we have is not by the works that we have accomplished in our life. It's not by what we've tried to do and what we have done or what we have accomplished. But our justification, our salvation, our redemption is by the blood, and therefore is without the deeds or the works of the law that comes within us. Now, the word remission, we notice here in these verses we read, verse 25, it speaks of His righteousness for the remission of sins. That word remission just simply means to pardon. It means to release from a debt. Thank God our sins have been paid for. And we've been released from that debt. We no longer owe that sin debt that we once owed. It means just simply forgiveness of sins. Last Sunday night, I believe it was, the last message, we dealt with this subject of redemption. And redemption is how we have been purchased. Redemption tells us that's a term of purchase of how God has bought us out of that marketplace of sin and taken us out of the bondage of sin. And that is redemption. But now tonight, the message is remission. And that talks about being purged or being made clean. That talks about having complete forgiveness of our sin. It wouldn't be enough for the Lord just to redeem me, but He also has to bring about remission. It's not enough that God buys me, but when He buys me, He washes my slate clean. And that's what remission of sin is all about. And so we're talking about washing and cleansing and purging us. When you think of that word remission, there's four main areas that covers. First of all, when you remit something, that means it's been canceled. I'm glad tonight that the sin debt that I had and that you had as a child of God, that sin debt has got a stamp across it, canceled. That just simply means no longer are we liable for that. No longer do we have to pay because it's been paid for us. As the old song says, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. That's remission of our sin. That's taking it and washing us and making us pure, making us spotless, making us white in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood paid the full price for my pardon of sin. There wasn't anything left undone. I'm glad that the Lord didn't just save me and then say, "All right, son, you do the best you can, and you've got your past sins taken care of, and now you're gonna have to take care of your own from here on." That's not my remission. That's not what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. When we had salvation given to us, and we have the remission of sins, that means a past, present, and future, and the Lord takes care of that, and my debt has been paid in full. Somebody says, "Well, what about the sins that we do now in the future? What about from here on?" Well, we'll suffer the consequences of sin, but I'll never have to pay the debt of sin. We'll suffer the consequences and the payment of things in our lives, as we spoke of this morning. And when we sin, there's a judgment that comes. But we'll never be under the debt of sin ever again. Why? Because it's been paid completely by the royal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that we have life and our sins have been canceled. They're no longer put to our account. The old song, I believe, in that little blue book, "The Old Account Was Settled Long Ago." The song goes, "There was a time on earth," and it tells about all of our sinning. But thank God, there was a time also that Jesus died, and now my sins have been made no longer affect to me, and my sins are gone, and they're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. The debt has been taken care of. You see, in the Old Testament, we've mentioned many times that when they had the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go in behind the Holy of Holies, and he would be back there doing his priestly work, and he'd be applying the blood there to the mercy seat. And he would do that every year, because it would push forward those sins of Israel for another year. Well, that's not what I've got. Thank God my sins haven't been pushed forward. They've been taken away. They're not just there waiting for me somewhere down the line, but he's taken my sins far, far away from us. And the Bible will see, even he has forgotten them. My debt has been paid. In the Old Testament, it's sort of like, maybe we can think of it like when we borrow money and we don't have enough to pay it off, and we just pay the interest every year. And we've had to do that here at church a few times. And we'd have a debt, and we'd just have enough to pay the interest. And we'd push that debt forward to another period of time. Well, that's what was happening in the Old Testament. But thank God, when you can go and take that debt, and you can tear up the note, and it's been taken care of, it's been paid in full, no longer will it ever be held to our account again. And that's what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. He remitted, or he canceled, our sin. Not only is it to remit, but it also means to remove the sin from us. My sins have been removed by the blood, the old account, cleared out, and everything pure and righteous. It also means to remove sin's hold on me. Sin no longer, those sin that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave himself for, that sin should not ever have and will not ever have another hold on me, because it has been removed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And it takes care of the hold that had upon us. When a person gets saved, I believe things change. And God removes some of those old natures and old habits, and God gives us a new nature. God gives us new habits. I still believe, we was talking about it in prayer group, I still believe when a person gets saved, God changes that individual. When he gets saved, I'm not talking about man's salvation, but when man gets born again, when he gets saved and gets a dose of salvation that is real, he's going to change some habits in his life. That liar no longer will be a liar. That man that goes and to and fro, no longer will he be a thief, will steal no more, and a drunkard will not be a drunkard anymore. The things of the Word of God tell us that when a person comes to know Christ, he is made a new creature, a new creation. And that's by the precious grace of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he takes us and makes us whole again. And then he restores us back to a position as though I had never sinned. Now that's what these verses here are talking about. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds or the works of the law. We have been made to be restored back to a position that we are in Christ and Christ in us. Now, I've said many times that when the Lord sees me, he does not see me. When God looks upon me, he sees me as righteous in the sight of through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that's been applied in my heart. God sees me. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter number 8. Let's turn over there just for a moment. In Romans 8:28, verse 29 rather, says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn among brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. That's past tense. That's happened. And in the sight of God, when God looks at you and I, we that are saved, he sees us as perfect and pure because of the blood of Christ that's been applied to our heart. Now, we know we're not, but God sees us through the blood. God the Father sees us through the blood of His Son. And therefore, we are restored back to a position of fellowship once again with God. And that fellowship can never be severed again because my sins, plural, are gone. They're forever forgotten in the mind of God, and He'll never recall them back. In the Old Testament, sin was put off year after year. But in the New Testament, thank God, our sins are paid off. And there's a big difference in that. The Old Testament, they were put off, pushed forward for a while. But thank God in the New Testament, when Jesus Christ, there on the cross of Calvary, when He said, "It is finished, Eliah, Eliah, Sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When those things were being accomplished there on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ paid off my sin debt. He didn't push it forward anymore. He paid it off. And thank God we have that in the Lord. In the Old Testament, sin remained. But in the New Testament, sin is removed from us. We are new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Job chapter number 14, verse 17, the Scripture says, "My transgression is sealed up in a bag." If you go on and read that, it talks about that it's sold up. Well, we use that, and that's a good verse of Scripture, but that's an Old Testament Scripture. That meant that God sealed it up in a bag. He sewed it up, but the sin's still there. It's still there. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalm, chapter 103, verse 12, we use the verse very much, and rightfully so. But the Scripture says here, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." He's taken them and put them as far as the east is from the west, but you know what? The sin is still there somewhere. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter number 38, verse 17, "Thou hast cast my sins behind thy back." These are Old Testament Scriptures, and God had the sins still there. It's just back there where He couldn't find them. But now when you come to the New Testament, thank God, the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." It's gone forever. And there we have our remission of our sins. My sins, they're gone, and never, never, God says, "I've forgotten about them." The old song many times that I heard people sing is, when God looks, what sin are you talking about? When you think about the sin, God has to say, "What sin?" Why, He's put them in His remembrance no more. They're not to be called up because my sins are gone. My sins have been taken away. And the Bible says there in John 1:29, "The Lamb of God, behold the Lamb of God, the Son of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I want us to notice some things about this subject of remission of sins. Remission of sins by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That verse, those verses we read there in the book of Romans, tells us, the Scripture gives us over and over there that we have remission, we have forgiveness, we have a purging, we have a cleansing of our sins because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, I want you to notice that when you have remission of sin, you have a renewed relationship with the Lord. I said a while ago, we've been brought back into fellowship. We've been brought back into a rightful position that we once had in that we were in God, and God knew that. But when Jesus went to Calvary, He took care of the sin question forever. Never does it have to be worried about anymore. When a person is a sinner and they come to know Christ, then thank God we can leave our sins there to altar. We can leave them with the Lord, and we don't have to bring them up anymore. The Bible says that the devil, he's the accuser of the brethren. He brings them up to us, but we ought to leave them there. We ought to leave them with the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 24, "Who His own self bare our sin in His own body on the tree." He took care of my sin that day, there on the cross of Calvary, there on that tree where the Bible says, "Cursed is every man that hangeth upon a tree." But the Bible says He bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Thank God, my sins have been taken care of at Calvary. where the blood was shed and where God, the Son, shed His blood that I might have life. The last time that we ought to ever see our sins is when we see them there upon Calvary, there in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says He was made sin for us. The Bible says here that He took upon Him our sins in His own body, and He bare them there to the tree or to the cross of Calvary. And the last time we look at our sins, it ought to be on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, there, hanging there between heaven and earth, that my sins were placed upon Him. My sin nature was placed upon Him. My sins, plural, were placed upon Him. And now I can go singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Why? Because one day on Calvary, He took my sins and put them in His own body and became sin for me. The sins were not just placed upon Him, but He was made sin. He that was the righteousness of God, who had never did any sin, had never done any wrong. The Bible says no guile found in His mouth. Yet but one day there, on that day of Golgotha's hill, He was made sin. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then a few moments and minutes and hours later, he made other statements. And the clouds and the sky was darkened because God, the righteous God of heaven, could not look upon His Son, because there He was being made sin for me, and my sins were being propitiated to Him, put upon Him, imputed to Him. Thank God now He's imputed to us righteousness, and we have been given that. Where are our sins? I don't know. I don't want to know. But I'm glad, thank God, they're forever gone. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 8, verse number 12, the Scripture says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." And if God can forget about them, I ought to be able to forget about them. If God can say, "I remember them no more," then I ought to not call them up all the time. There's a lot of folks today, a lot of Christians today, they live in so much misery and so much turmoil because they're gradually, continually recalling their sins, recalling what they were, recalling how bad it was and how much sin they were in. And the devil uses that to keep them beat down. If God can forget about them, I ought to be able to forget about them. If God can forgive them, then I ought to be able to say, Lord, I give it over to You and I trust You. You see, forgetting is a weakness in man. I may tell you I'll do something and not mean to, and I'll forget it. And I might, I've done that before and hurt people's feelings because I forgot. That's a weakness in man. But the strength of God is that He can forget, and He does forget. That shows His nature. Where I'm weak, He's strong, and therefore He can forget my sin. God doesn't forget until He forgives, though. He's not going to forget the sins of this world. He's not going to forget the sins of men and women that have turned their back upon Him. They'll be brought up one day. They'll stand before the white throne judgment of God one day. Those sins will not be forgotten. But when He forgives you, when there's remission of sin, when there's remission through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, my sins are gone. My slate is wiped clean. No longer any spots. No longer any wrinkles. No longer am I burdened down. I have forgiveness. I have remission. I have cleansing. I have a purging of sins. And they're all taken care of. And therefore my relationship can be renewed with the Son of God. My relationship through the Son can be renewed to the Father of Heaven. And we can have fellowship, direct access. You see, we can go now and we can call upon the Heavenly Father. We pray, and the only way we can pray is through the Son. The only way we have access to the throne of heaven this night, tomorrow, next day, the only way we can do that is through the Son. And so therefore my position has been renewed, that I can once again talk to my Creator. I can talk to my Heavenly Father. I can go to Him directly. I don't have to have some human priest with his collar on backward and a black robe. I don't have to have that. I am a priest. I am a believer priest in the Lord, that I can go to Him because I have a high priest, the Son of God, that's made access where I can go in to the throne room of grace. The Bible says that middle wall of petition has been broken down. Doesn't matter if we're Jew or Gentile. By the way, it doesn't matter if we're red, yellow, black, or white. We have access to the throne room of God through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God doesn't forget our sins until He forgives us. But my relationship is renewed when the blood is applied. You see, those folks in the Old Testament there in the book of Exodus, they could not have a relationship with God until the blood was applied to the doorpost down both sides and across the top. They could not have a relationship until blood was shed and blood was sprinkled and blood was placed upon the doorpost. And my friend and I will not have relationship, will not have fellowship, will not have access until the blood has been applied to our heart. Fellowship has been restored. We can be convicted of sin, but we'll never be condemned by sin. You see, the Bible tells us my condemnation is past. Turn, if you would, with me to Romans chapter number 8. I believe I could quote that, but I want to just turn there and make sure we get it right. Romans chapter number 8, verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation." When is that? Right now. Not in the future. Not some 10,000 years out in the future, but right now. "There is therefore now no condemnation to who? To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Thank God tonight we have been redeemed, and there is therefore no longer, never again will we be under the condemnation of God. The wrath of God, the Bible tells us, we are not appointed unto wrath. We no longer have the wrath of God hovering over our head. But a person that is without God, the wrath of God is there. The condemnation is there. And they're condemned already. The Bible says in John 3, the Bible says they're condemned already because they did not believe in the name of the only begotten of the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the condemnation is there to the unbeliever. But to those of us that have remission of our sin, for those of us that our sins have been removed, and those of us that our sins have been canceled, those of us that we have that fellowship restored, thank God we have a great time of fellowship together with Him because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have that relationship because of that remission of my sin. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Thank God I'm part of that world. You're part of that world. And we that are saved, we're the world of the redeemed, and our sins are gone. They're remitted. They're canceled, and no longer to be ever judging us ever again. Not only is our relationship renewed with the Lord because of remission, but thank God our record is removed. Now the Bible tells us in the book of Job that my record is on high. Now we're having a record continually made on our life. I believe that with all my heart. I believe those things we're doing in our life, in our bodies, whether they be good or evil, God's keeping a record. He keeps that record right. And we're not going to have to worry about somebody tampering with it. We're not going to have to worry about somebody rewriting the record. When we stand before God, we'll say, "God, I'm guilty." That's exactly the way it was. You see, today we give all kinds of excuses, but then there'll not be any excuses. Then there'll not be any explaining away. We'll just say, "I'm guilty." When we fail to work and worship the Lord, and He'll bring that up one day, we'll have to say, "I'm guilty." But thank God my past record has been removed. My sins are gone, and remission brings about that. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. We're going to look here in just a few verses. Romans chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. But in Romans chapter 1, we have an indictment that God gives against the heathen. We find out here that Paul is a servant of Jesus Christ in verse number 1. But in verses 18 on down through the remainder of chapter, we find that God gives an indictment against the world, against the heathen. We find here that this man is a sinner. He has a religion, but that religion is a perverted religion. You'll notice there in verse number 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Look at verse 21. "Because that they, but when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain. Their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of God, or the glory of the uncorruptible God, into an image made like corruptible man." Verse 24, "God also gave them up to uncleanness." Verse 25, "They changed the truth of God, and they worshiped the creature more than the Creator." And then verse 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affection. Every time that they change something about God, God just writes them off. God just gives them over to a reprobate mind, to a vile affection. The Bible says that He gives them over to uncleanness. He just gives them over. And thank God tonight, you and I that are saved, our record has been cleansed and made right. And the verses right here that we've read, that explains what we were before Christ saved us. We were vile. We were wicked. We were undone. The heathen sinner there in Romans 1 had a perverted religion. You'll notice here in verse 21, they turned from God. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. And then verse 23, they turned to idols. That's the wrong way. Men are supposed to turn from idols to God, but here we have a group that turned from God to idols, and there's where we find ourselves tonight in our society. We have turned from God to idols, and God says, I'll just give you over to uncleanness. I'll just let you go your own way. Amen. In Romans chapter 2, we find the hypocritical sinner. We could take verses here this chapter where we find the sinner is a hypocrite, and he has a pretended religion. He just pretends. And there's where we can find ourselves also. Tonight, today in which we live, everywhere we look is pretense. People have on false faces. They put on their masks. They put on religion. Religion does them no good. We need the blood applied. We need our sins remitted. We need our sins canceled. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 17, we have the Hebrew sinner. We have this man that has turned from God. The Jew that knows the law is condemned by the law. These others are condemned without the law. But now the Jew, this Hebrew man, he's condemned because of the law. And we find he has a powerless religion. Look at verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law, and maketh thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law and all these things. And it says, these things you do because you are a Jew. And what the Bible is trying to get the world to understand, it doesn't matter if we're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter how many religions we have, how much we've got. It doesn't matter if we are the chosen nation, the seed of Israel. It says that all have been condemned. All are unrighteous before God. And the only way that my record can be removed, or their record can be removed, or your record can be removed, is by the applying of the blood, the remission of our sin. In Romans chapter number 3, verse number 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Chapters 1 and 2 has brought about the heathen and the Hebrew, and all those brought them down to one thing, and it's here in verse number 10, there is none righteous. Doesn't matter if we're Baptist, doesn't matter if we're Methodist, doesn't matter if we're Pentecostal, doesn't matter if we're Jew, doesn't matter if we're Gentile, it doesn't matter if we're white man, doesn't matter if we're black man. It doesn't matter if we're an Indian, it doesn't matter if we're an Oriental, it doesn't matter if we're from Africa or if we're from Timbuktu, it does not matter. For the Bible concludes all under sin. Amen. The Bible here says, it's written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. That's why I don't agree with this teaching that's going on today, that there are those that call themselves seekers. There's none that seeketh after righteousness. There's none that looks after the things of God. The Bible says, verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Verses 13 on down through verse 18 and 19 gives you the indictment that God gives upon this human race. And the only way that that record can be removed is that the blood has to be applied and my sins to be canceled. Amen. Notice there, verse 13, their throat. Who's that word there refer back to? None righteous. It goes back to everybody. There's none righteous. So therefore their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues have they used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, but every mouth, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Everybody is guilty. And the only way that I can have a removal of my sins is to have the blood applied. The only way of salvation is the canceling of my sin. Everyone guilty. Nobody's left out. Then the scene here moves on down to verse number 24 of chapter 3. It says, but being justified freely. How? By His blood, or by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. Wonder why that's placed there. Wonder why that's that? Because that's the only way you're going to have a propitiation. That's the only way somebody's going to be your substitute. That's the only way you're going to have life. That's the only way that things are going to be right is when the blood is applied to life and your sin has been canceled, removed, and forgotten. Thank God tonight we have the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says to declare His righteousness for the remission of sin. Look in Romans chapter number 4. Verse number 8, the Bible says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Amen. Blessed is that man to whom God will not give sin back to him. Our sins have been canceled. Our sins have been remitted. Our sins have been taken away. And God says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute or will not put to your account sin. And the only way that can happen, and you already know, is by the blood being applied. Thank God we have our sins removed. Romans 4:13. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham nor to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It wasn't Abraham, we promise you this because of the law, but Abraham, it's because of your faith. You go on down and read there, it says, Abraham believed God. Blessed is that man to whom sin is not imputed to him. But God gives, God imputes, God puts upon us the righteousness of the Lord because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And then therefore, after that, my relationship has been renewed. After these things have been taken care of, my record has been taken care of. Now my rejoicing can be restored in the Lord. Now I can have joy. Now I can have peace. Now I can have forgiveness of sins and joy in my heart and saying, thank God I'm saved, rejoicing on my way. There's too many sad Christians today. There's too many people down in the dumps. There's too many people look like they've just saw their last friend go down the road and never see him again. Folks, you and I have something to rejoice in, and it's because of what Christ has done for us. We have a future worth living.
Amen.
It's a future worth living for, and it's a future that we're going to live in. And we ought to rejoice, and my rejoicing can be restored once again because of what Christ has done. Verse number 26 of Romans 3 says, declare I say at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. If Jesus don't make you happy, then you are not going to be reached with happiness. If the Son of God and the blood of Christ being applied to your heart, if that doesn't make you rejoice, then you're rejoicing. There's something wrong with it. Because we have all these things because of what God has done for us. And then we mope and groan around and say, nobody cares. And we say this happens and that happens. And we get down lower than a snake's belly. And when we ought to get on the point of saying, thank God I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. And all the things around me, God knows about that. God can help me. God can use me. And I'm going to stay on the firing line for the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Because we've been saved. My position is that I'm justified. That word justified means declared innocent.
Amen. Amen.
When God looks at me, he says, innocent. God doesn't say I'm guilty anymore. He's already declared the whole world guilty. And now the blood's been applied to me, and he looks and said, you're justified. You're innocent. You're pardoned. No longer. God doesn't have he doesn't have a parole system. God has a pardon system. I don't have to wonder and hope that I'm going to stay out on good behavior. My sins are gone. And God puts upon me this word justified, just as if I'd never sinned. That's the way God sees me. That's the way God sees you if you're saved. And the only way he sees that is because we are under the blood. My rejoicing tonight, so many times our rejoicing is because of things around us. But our rejoicing ought to be because of who is in us. Our rejoicing is not classified by our circumstances. Now, happiness and joy are two different things. Joy is on the inside that cannot be removed. Happiness is on the outside that can be changed. That's why we talk about the joy of the Lord. That's why we talk about having joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's why we talk about the joy bells of heaven. Why? Because they're inside. And we have that joy that's been placed there by the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore that brings happiness to my heart. Now sometimes my happiness And sometimes my laughter and sometimes your laughter will turn into tears of sorrow. But it does not change my joy in the Lord. Ought not to. Sometimes things come up and my face gets long. Sometimes we undergo stress and problems and discouragements, and that changes our outward appearance of our happiness. But it does not change my joy of the Lord. It does not change that which is on the inside. And that which is on the inside ought to work its way out over abundantly more than that which is on the outside. So we need to have this thing of joy. My joy restored. Because Christ shed His blood. Christ died. Christ remitted my sins. He canceled them. He put them away. And He says, blessed is that man whom the Lord will not impute sin. He's not going to put it back to my account. He's not going to apply it back to me. They're forever gone. And therefore my joy can be restored in the Lord. How many times we have faltered and failed on this thing of joy because we don't understand what's been done to us. We don't understand really how great a God is that whom we serve. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, thank God tonight He is great. His faithfulness is great and He never changes. He's the same yesterday. If you looked at the Lord 10 years ago, He's the same today as He was 10 years ago. And if you look at the Lord 20 years from now, He'll still be the same as He was tonight and 10 years ago or 50 years ago or 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago. God's God. He does not change. And therefore the joy that puts in my heart that He places there does not change. I have that joy unspeakable, full of glory, running out and overjoying, overpowering me. And sure, things may not always be like I want them to be, but thank God I can have the joy of Christ in my heart because He has saved me and given me life eternal, everlasting life in Him. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I'm glad it doesn't stop there. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We've sinned, we're guilty of death, we are deserving death, but the gift of God. It's just like God offering us, saying, here, would you take that? Someone give you a gift, if you don't take it, they can't make you take it. God's offered salvation to a man, mankind, to a world. But God's not going to force us to take it. God's not going to make us puppets. God doesn't have robots. God wants us to freely take that. And when we take that, and the blood applied, all the things that happen inside. When we first get saved, we don't understand that. Everybody in here probably could give reference to the day you got saved and how your heart rejoiced and how things were just different. I've heard people say the lights look brighter, and I've heard people say the trees look greener. I've heard people say they just walked better and acted better and were different. You know what that is? That's the joy of the Lord coming in our heart. That's the change that God puts within us. All of a sudden, that old nature that was depraved and depressed and dying and then despair, all of a sudden we have a new nature. We have a nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that nature, I can rejoice. In my own nature, I sin. In my own nature, I'm rebellious. In my own nature, I go against God. But in my new nature, I can sing praises to the Lord. I can rejoice even though it seems as though the whole world's crumbling. I can still rejoice in the Lord. My rejoicing, my fellowship, all these things have been restored because the blood of Jesus Christ was one day applied. Because He says that He is a propitiation for our sins. Not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. Thank God He didn't just die for me. He didn't just die for you. We need to get our eyes off of self and put our eyes on the world. He is a propitiation. He's a substitute, not just for me, not just for you, but a substitute for the whole world. Everyone that will come, He will in no wise cast them out. He will put to them the royal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll give them remission of sin. He'll clean them up. He'll take care of their life, and their joy and fellowship once again can be restored. The record has the old record is wiped out. New slate before us, and we can serve God because of the blood. No wonder the Scripture talks so much about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in Him, our relationship is renewed, our record is removed, and our rejoicing is restored, all because of the applied blood of Calvary. I have fellowship with Him now. I don't have to go to somebody else. I can go to Him because the blood has been applied. Let's stand tonight. The remission of sin. Redemption. Yes, redemption paid the price. made us free. But remission cleans us up, makes us holy, gives us a clean new slate, and we can have fellowship with God. Our Father, I pray tonight now that you would take the message. Lord, teach us from these scriptures that we've read tonight and the verses. Lord, teach us the great privilege that we have as a child of God, that our sins are not put off, but God, they're paid off. That our sins are no longer before us, but they're forever settled and they're forgotten. And Lord, I pray now that you'd help us to have that joy that our sins have been removed. Thank God, people can ask us why that we're happy. And we can say, as the old song says, because my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our life in saving us, making us a redeemed creature. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What number, brother?
Page 383.
Page number 383 tonight. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Thank God tonight he did. He did all the work. Everything was his work. Nothing I did. The more I study, the more I read my Bible, the more I understand that I didn't have a thing to do with my salvation. I mean, I didn't. You say, well, didn't you ask the Lord to say? I sure did. But I'd have never asked him until he spoke to my heart. I'd have never come to him unless he'd have said, son, would you not come? I'd never come of my own free will. I wouldn't have sought after God. There's none that seeketh after God. No man looks to the Lord. And I'm glad he can do a work in your heart and make you realize what you are. And then you come and say, thank you, Lord. And trusting that grace and trusting the merit that comes from the Lord and the blood that was shed, we have life because of him. He paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left us in a terrible condition, but he made us white as snow. Let's sing tonight this good old song, 383.
My Savior, save thy strength, indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all.
Brings us to Calvary. Only he can melt that heart. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Oh God, help us to look to him and know what we have.